Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short. So let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soul to Profit Radio. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I want to thank my loyal listeners from around the globe. I recently received emails from folks in the United Kingdom, in Asia, and also in South Africa. So thank you for those kind emails. We are so happy that your lives are changing and you're feeling a shift in your direction in life, and also knowing that you're on the right path. And, you know, sometimes that's the most important thing that we can know in life, is that we're on the right path. So again, thanks so much to the new listeners out there, and a big thank you to my loyal listeners. Please keep the emails coming. I love to read them. It inspires me to keep bringing you amazing guests for the show. And today is the day. I've been looking forward to this day. I have a fantastic guest. Derek Mills is with me. He's in the studio on hold right now, and I'm going to introduce him shortly. I know you're going to absolutely love him, and you're going to be inspired by his work. He's done very few things. He's done a lot of things that very few people have been able to accomplish in life, and he makes it seem easy. That's what I love about this guy. It is incredible, and I think he's going to share with us exactly how easy it is. So I hope you're enjoying your holidays. We're in the time right before the Christmas holiday and close to bringing in a new year. So this is a big time. You know, lots of changes are being made, and people are recognizing in their life, you know, they're looking back and they're reflecting on the year, and they're asking themselves, did I actually achieve my goals this year? And what is it that I have to look forward to in the new year? And that's, you know, that's what I love about this time of year. I mean, of course, getting together with friends and family and connecting with loved ones is always wonderful. And so is a look at life, you know, your life, in an introspective way, and asking yourself some pretty deep questions about, you know, what is it that I really desire to experience next year? And have I fully lived this year and created and manifested everything that I intended to? So this is a time that, yes, you know, we do a lot of eating and celebrating, but I'm also going to encourage all of you to really be contemplative during this time as well. You know, look at your life, and so that if you didn't quite achieve everything you desired for 2013, that you know 2014 is right around the corner. And that is why I invited my dear friend Derek Mills on the show today. Derek is fantastic. He is someone who is going to help you in a very quick way discover your 10-second philosophy. And literally, it's like that simple, or at least he says it is, and he's going to tell us how to do it. And really know the difference between goals and what you're achieving. So if you're on track, then great. If you need a little bit of a boost, he's going to help you get super clear about how to achieve those goals and what standards are, and we're going to get it all from Derek Mills. Now, Derek is an international inspirational speaker and coach, as well as a senior partner in one of the UK's leading wealth management organizations. He is regularly invited to speak around the world, sharing his philosophy for success and happiness with others. Derek is the author of an incredible book that I'm just about finished reading. I absolutely love it. It's called The 10-Second Philosophy, A Practical Guide to Releasing Your Inner Genius. Derek shares how to use the power of living as true self and the utilization of standards instead of goals. So this is big, and he's going to talk about this today on the show. And you do that to achieve true happiness and success, which is published And the book is also distributed by Hay House, and that's going to be fun to talk with Derek about how he got a Hay House contract. So Derek is also a featured expert in the internet inspirational personal development movie called The Keeper of the Keys, starring Jack Canfield, John Gray, and Marcy Shymoff. Derek is married to Jerry. They have four children and live in Worcestershire. I always have a hard time saying that word, Worcestershire, England. He is a first Dan in karate and enjoys riding and playing polo. So he's a cool guy. So Derek, welcome to Soul to Profit Radio.
Jason, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, we are delighted to have you today. And tell us, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Worcestershire.
Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, it was good. It was okay. We knew what you meant. Yeah, it was just, you know, you probably heard of the Worcestershire sauce. Well, the Worcestershire sauce that's sold around the world comes from a place about 12 miles from here, the town of Worcester in Worcestershire.
Excellent. And that's exactly what that reminded me of when I read that. I was like, oh, like Worcestershire sauce. So, Derek, we recently spoke. And after we spoke, I got off the phone, I realized, oh my gosh, this guy embodies the ideals that I talk about weekly on this radio show. So thank you for being a real-life example of not only living your purpose, making money doing what you love, but also being of service to others.
Yes. I think there is a key to success in any walk of life, and that's around the authentic self, which means that is to discover really why we're here, what our purpose is. And as we live out and act out our reality, to recognize it's okay to be rewarded for that as well. So we can be authentic and serve the world, and we can, we can ourselves accept, and that's hard for people to do, to accept whatever the world wants to give back to us by way of reward or exchange. And, you know, I've worked on that basis and shared that philosophy, you know, all over now, and it seems to help.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really accepting, allowing, and receiving the good things that the universe has is, I agree with you, is one of the most challenging things that people face. Why do you think that is?
There's an element, because, you know, for the good part of my adult life, the first 18 years of it anyway, I was one of the people that didn't really accept myself. I had low self-esteem, low self-confidence. So why would the world reward me in any useful way? Why would it, you know, beat a path to my door to give me wealth and exposure and opportunities? So in fact, what I found when I look back on this and when I counsel and work with other people is that many of us had blocks. And these blocks are based on our previous way of looking at things, our history, the way we think the world is around us. So we cause these blocks ourselves, and it's actually part of releasing the blocks that are within us that we begin to explore who we really are and say, actually, you know, I am worthy, and I've got some good stuff to share with the world, and I'm good to go right now. I'm good to go as me. And each of us, I say to people, you're good to go as you right now. And the you that's in the world the you that's in the world is the you the world needs, not something else. But you in the world is what the world needs. Otherwise, why would you be here? So it's about acceptance of self, because the world has conspired. We all know this, but let's call it what it is. The world has conspired in many ways to keep many people in lack, in a position of low self-esteem, lacking self-confidence, of not worthiness. And so a few privileged few can effectively run the show. What I'm sharing to you, my philosophy, is actually that every single one of us is effectively a genius, part of the universe, part of everything. And all we have to do is begin to accept that, because it's true, trust ourselves, and then act from that trust. As in, not just trusting ourselves and saying, yeah, I believe that, that's okay, and I'll trust my own thoughts. When we really trust ourselves, it's when we act as if it's true.
That's a powerful way to act, for sure. Act as if. So what you're saying is to Now, some people call this fake it as you make it, which I never liked that saying. I don't like anything fake. So I love the way that you say it, act as if, and that's how I describe it too, to people as well. So what you're saying is to figure out what it is you desire, and then even in the absence of proof, which is, you know, let's say if someone out there listening desires an income of $100,000 a year, and that they would, when they achieve that income level, they would do certain things aligned with that income level. And in order to manifest that, then what they would do today is they would start acting as if they've already achieved that income level. Is that correct, Eric?
It's more than that. It's actually saying that when I say act as if it's true, that's what I mean is this, is that lots of people go on a journey of discovery and personal development, and they learn lots of things about themselves. So just like you, there's a part in my book where I have a heading that says, I faked it and I didn't make it. So it's not about faking it. So I absolutely aligned with you on that. It's actually about, if you discover who you are and you begin to have experiences of yourself and your spirit and your energy and your gifts and your abilities and your talents, the things that are within all of us, it's not enough just to be aware of that. We have to act from that place. So when I say act as if it's true, I mean it is true, but don't put your lighter under a bushel and act as if it isn't true. Because what you discover about yourself only becomes real in the world as you, when you act from that place. When I say act, I don't mean pretend. I mean you move, you speak, you work, you move, you shape the world, you speak those words, you reveal those thoughts, you take the actions, you follow through the idea, you act from the authenticity within. So act isn't like an actor pretending to be something that they're not. Acting is, there's a phrase I talk about in the penultimate chapter in the book, and I talk about this phrase called realize squared. The first realization is to realize the gifts and the abilities and talents inside of you, in terms of each of us. And the second realization is to make it real in the world. And that's how I describe it. So whatever you discover about yourself, it only becomes true for you when you are making that, when you're saying the word, you're doing the thing, following through on the thought, going left instead of right, doing the thing, acting out the thing that you discover about yourself, not being false. But if you discover something, make sure that that's how you are in your life. That's when your truth becomes reality.
Oh, I love that. That is so powerful. So take us back to the time when you first discovered, or when you first had your 10-second experience. What was that like? What happened in your life?
Well, my life was, like many people, a game of two halves. And the first half, you know, was pretty much growing up one of a family of seven, poor, lost my mother when I was 13 years old. And my father gave up work, took after the seven children. And at 13, I had a stutter, so I couldn't communicate with people very well, and that massively impacted my self-esteem and, of course, confidence when you're a child. Important. So by my late 20s, I was inspired by a young lady that was ridiculing the way that I spoke. And that moment of inspiration when I was 25 led me to go back and accept the truth that, in fact, I could speak, but I was stuck. And many of us have been stuck in our lives, but we accept the stuckness. I had to discover a way of becoming unstuck. So I learned how to speak again for a second time. But that didn't change my life. It just changed my communication. My life changed when one night, a little under 10 years ago, I'm in the office and I'm working, married, the first few children, three of my children were born, and I'm broke. I'm living from month to month, hand to mouth, robbing Peter to pay Paul. I've saved the house from foreclosure. I'd have the sheriff, what we call the bailiff in the UK, you call the sheriff. I'd have the sheriff in the house to value my assets to see what could be repossessed. And that was a few short years early, but by the end of 2003, I had my first 10-second moment where a simple question from the office security guard. He asked me a question. The question was, what time did you get in this morning? So it's a nonsense question to most people. The difference was, I was broken, depressed, and it was 10 o'clock in the evening, and I've been doing this long day for years, not seeing my wife, not seeing my children, almost depressed, not paying the bills, clients abusing my service, driving all over the UK, doing tens of thousands of miles a year, and feeling this isn't my life and I'm not enjoying this. But that one moment, that first 10-second moment, made me stop because of that question. Pause. Go inside. And as I went inside on that introspective journey, the only way I describe to people, it was like there was a hurricane and a revolution occurring in my life. A lot of the thoughts I'd had over the previous years were thrown out. And when I realized, they weren't working for me. So some of the thoughts were, yeah, you're not happy because you're not who you truly are. And you can't be truly happy as not you. You've got to become you, become, discover and become your true self. That gives you happiness. And from that moment, I made the decision to be my true self. So my happiness became instantaneous. One of the other things that came out in that moment, which you know, a lot of my work is based around the second thing that came out, and that was I've been setting goals for 18 years. So when I realized that I hadn't achieved hardly any of them, after 18 years, I was still broken, depressed. So what came out to me was to stop setting any more goals and instead live by high daily standards set from within. So my wisdom, my inner sagacity, led me to say that a standard is a word such as a basis, criteria, level, quality or rule that you set from within. So if you're a person, you go within and discover the right standards for you. If you're a company, discover the right standards for your company from your truth. And then have the courage, the guts to live from that place. I did that, and that's the short story. The reason why we're speaking here today is that 3 years later, I'm a millionaire. The following year, I earned $1 million in just 1 year. And after that, I became an executive film producer, an author, international speaker, coach, and all these things in an incredibly short period of time, which means that, just like you, me, and everybody else, my gifts and talents were always inside of me. What I had to do was discover a way to get inside and let my gifts out. And the moment my gifts came out, my life changed, as they say, overnight. That's the short version.
Well, that's an amazing story, Derek. And so let's go a little deeper. What did you do to get inside of yourself? It almost sounds like you found the key that unlocked something inside of you that allowed for these beautiful things to flow in your life.
That's pretty accurate, because what I share in my workshops and teachings and through the book is that share how to access your inner self, because my first 10-second moment was what some people might call an epiphany or a mini meditation, where I went truly introspectively and I let go of my thinking thoughts. I released the ego from the moment and began to consider what was really my spirit and my energy, my intuition on the inside of me. And the more I held that space in that first 10 seconds, concepts and ideas came to me, and I knew. And it's almost as to say that there was a voice that was speaking to me, not with words, but I recognized the voice nonetheless. So I thought, hey, this is really me. This is inside of me. And if I live from this place, this is really me. If I live from this place and follow the guidance that I get in this meditation in the middle of this journey or my introspective view of myself, if I follow the wisdom from that source, which is who I really am, the source, part of the energy, people have different language for this. Those who have a faith say, you know, you're part of God, that you came here with your spirit, your soul. Others say it's just you're part of the universe. Whatever you call it, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's still there nonetheless. And that core, which I simply call the true self, spoke to me and guided. And how I turned my life around is that I followed the wisdom and the guidance that came from that place. I literally took the steps that came from that place. And I have this thing where I share and I ask people, when you have this meditation that many people do now, and you begin your day with a meditation, you discover things about yourself. The things that you learn about yourself in that place, in the spirit, into wonderful energy, in the space that you occupy, and you're enlightened, you're connected to the whole universe, and all the language that we all know. The question I ask is, and so what? Is that just useful to have a nice feeling for a few moments? Or can we really connect with the source in that place and then ask questions? What's right for me? What should I do from here? Should I go left or right? Lead me, guide me. This is my truth. What is my truth for me today? And I began to ask those kind of questions, and then I did the one key thing that so many people don't do. I literally followed through on all the guidance, taking all the actions that came from my truth. and that has made all the difference.
Oh, Derek, that's so powerful. I love that. So the question to ask is, and so what? Was that the one that you start with?
That's the thing to start where it's an acceptance, and I'm starting that way because most people don't accept. The challenge that we have as human beings, and remember, I was stuck for the first 18 years of my adult life, notwithstanding the years of being stuck as a teenager with a stutter. But the idea is that I was trying to think what I should do, and I was overthinking things, and I was second-guessing myself. And at times I go into ego, and I say, I'm not worthy because I'm not a success. I haven't got the car and the house and the things and all these that the world tells me. So the mind and the ego are not the place that your genius occupies. Our genius occupies somewhere inside, which is our core, our essence, and our truth. So the real first step is to begin to understand that this is where, if you want to change your life, if you want to completely revolutionize the whole thing of your being and to impact the world in such a way the world just says to you, how did you do that? It's about going inside, not outside. And what we discover, you know, I was sharing the conversation with someone I was guiding yesterday, or counseling anyway, with them yesterday. And I said, you know, that they asked me, he said, how do I become rich, Derek? We know that, you know, you've done all the, had all this success. And tell me the four things or the five, what the steps to becoming wealthy. And I want to share them with people that I know. What do we have to do? And it was a young person, a young lady. And I said to her, if I gave you a seed and everything was contained within the seed, and you took that seed and put it on top of the concrete. Do you know the word concrete in the US? Is it concrete or the tarmac? No?
Yeah, that word translates? For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to put it on top of the concrete and nothing would happen. Although the seed, the sunflower seed, would contain everything it needed, nothing would happen. So here's what I had to do with her. I said, we're going to spend the first part of this session working through preparing the soil. Because if the soil is not prepared, it's like whatever I give you, the steps, the processes, are not going to work for you unless you prepare the soil for reception. Because all the nutrients are there in the soil, and we have to water. We have to give the sun. We have to put more nutrients maybe into the soil. We have to accept more nutrients into the soil, shift our philosophy, shift around our attitude, prepare the soil of our spirits and our minds to then accept the steps. If I just give you the steps, if it's that easy, I'd have a stall which would be hundreds of miles long, and I'd be handing out the steps to every person that I met that came along this queue. The reason why it's not as simple as taking these four steps is that we can give you the steps, but if your soil is not ready, you will not follow through on those steps. Your soil will reject the steps that will change your life. Your very being will not be prepared to accept into your life that which would make you all you can be. So the first step is preparation, preparing the soil, turning it up, turning it round, adding some stuff to it so that when the steps come along, because they will come to you, that you're ready to take those steps. And I want to make this really, really clear. The philosophy, yes, the 10-second philosophy is a philosophy, but the strap line is it's a practical guide. So when you tie those things together, it's about how we prepare ourselves, which is the philosophy, how we are set. And the practical steps are very, very simple. But I refuse to write a book with just another 7 steps to success because it doesn't work. How many books we need with 7 steps or 4 steps? We need something that helps people to prepare who they are, to be ready. Then the steps work. When you are ready, when you prepare yourself, when you're open, you can have any steps, and the steps will work for you. This is the difference.
That's powerful. It is an inside job, and you know, so often people don't want to hear that, do they? They want to know the quick rich, the way to riches quickly, and what we know is that for people who haven't done their inner work, and if by some reason they experience a large sum of money, perhaps they've won the lottery or they received an inheritance, that within a very short period of time, the number's staggering, something like 8 out of 10, 80% of those folks within 3 to 5 years are broke. They're back to where they were before they received the lottery winnings or the inheritance. So you're right.
It's the same in the UK.
Is it the same there? Yeah.
Absolutely the same stats that are borne out here as well. I'm sure if you looked around the world at international lotteries, it'll be the same. Part of that is that, okay, if you look at 2 scenarios where you have someone who's broke and near depressed and working 6 days a week, if you could just give me, so I had lots of steps given to me, lots of processes, just do this. So here's what he's doing, here's what she's doing, just do that. And I followed lots of steps. I went on the courses. In case someone's listening thinking I didn't understand, now, I did the gold courses and read the books and went on different programs and all the rest of it. And actually, like many people that I met, my life didn't change. So the reality of it was that it was about me being prepared and having my true self in my life. Then all of a sudden, see, that changed how I dealt with other people. I became authentic, balanced, and centered. And here's the key. My business proposition did not change one single bit from the first 18 years to the last 9. Not one single bit. What changed was me. And it was as if by magic that when I became my authentic, balanced self, truly acting from within, the same people that I was desperate and I would have lost an arm for to do business with were now coming to me saying, are we okay to do business with you? And can we refer some friends of ours that have also got some wealth? And yes, we'll travel up and down the length of England to come and visit you. You haven't got to come and see us. We want to see what you've got and if you can help us. And do we have enough for you to look after us in terms of, you know, the wealth that I've got a wealth management business, as you know. And I thought, isn't that interesting? I'm in the same office with the same products, the same services, the same company, the same organization, the same room. But people, when I changed, the same people I was desperate to visit began to see me in a different way. And this is what the philosophy shares, when you change from the inside, and here's how you do it. We're not saying change from the inside, now go and sort yourself out. We're saying here's how you do change from the inside. Here are the steps, and when you talk about standard, the daily change, the daily shifts that help us to change. If you act from this place, it's as if by magic, the rest of the world says, I see this guy called Jaden. I didn't see him before. I don't know what it is. And this isn't their thoughts. This isn't their ego. This is their energy, their spirit saying, whatever Jaden's doing, I want to be part of this guy's life. So if he's advising me, I'm going to take some advice. If he's leading a march somewhere, if he's saying for a new service or a new team or a new idea, it just feels right to be part of what Jaden is doing. That's when people come along to me with their left brains and say, come on, Derek, how did you really do it? I say, well, my products and the services were the same, but I changed me. And the moment I changed me, the world said, we wondered where you were. Now you can have as much business as you can handle, and you might need people to help you to handle the business we're going to give you. Because I set such low standards in my life that the moment I raised my standards, the world began to interact with me at a higher standard. And we can change all of our lives. When we raise our standards, the world will give us the respect, the attention, the acclamation, based on the standards that we set, just like in relationships.
Wow. Derek, that is incredible. What a great story. And I've often said that people can't value you or your products and services any more or less than you do. So, amen. You know, wherever you know, your thought process in terms of how valuable you feel you have to offer and how valuable you are, and I agree with you. I completely agree. You know, I have a Wealth Mastery Institute up here in Canada, and I teach from the philosophy be, do, have. So the being part, Derek, is so intense. It's such incredible work. But, boy, lives get transformed when they really get into that part of shifting from the inside, and that's when they start to see their outside transform. So thank you for sharing that.
And one of the things there, Jen, just to make it really clear, because people listen to this conversation saying that's all great and it's about the inside job. But what I realized that when I say that when I woke up, I realized I was a genius. And when I realized that every single one of us is a genius, because the things that came out of me must have been there all of those lean years. One of the things that came out is setting standards. So now we've got to not move away from the psychological, philosophical stuff. That's the soil. We now have to do some structured stuff. And the structured stuff is okay. Let's look at what came out of me was set and live by daily standards. What are the basis criteria, level and quantities and rules that we live our lives by? And we do what's called a four-step reframe. I guide people through this process. And the four-step reframe is let's review the standard that you live your life by in your relationships, your health, your career, your environment, your emotions, your family, all those areas. And then let's consider ourselves which of those actually serve and honor us now. Because part of the reframe has to be, what was the source of your existing standards? So you're 48 right now, and you're doing that. So why are you doing this each day in your life? Well, Derek, I've done that since I was 21. Since I was 25, I worked for this particular company, or I went to this particular talk, and this guy said to do this, I've always done that. I say, well, you're not 21 anymore. What standards would serve you in this area of your life right now? What would honor and serve you, and in thereby doing, allowing you to honor and serve other people? Okay, so which of those standards can you release right now that's not serving and honoring you? And we do have the release process. Which can you then reset and have new standards, high standards set from within, that allows you to be congruent and authentic with your truth as who you are now? And the last R, the four R's of this reframe, is then recommit to living at those standards, sticking to those standards just for today, just until we go back to bed tonight. This is not a goal thing for 3 months, 3 years, whatever. This is about saying, look, if you've got goals, what I know all around the world, as you know, is that those who have goals, a lot of people achieve them. An awful lot of people don't achieve their goals. So by living by the daily standards philosophy, we recognize that the thing that keeps us on that success path is what we do each and every day. So standards are committing to, just literally, just for today. Not a metaphor, it's just for today. And if the good Lord gives us tomorrow, we recommit to our standards just for that day. That takes the pressure off. You haven't got to be the best you for the rest of your life. Just be the best of you today. And that's how we create success.
Wow. I love that, Derek. That is an incredible philosophy and framework for people to know quickly how to make the, you know, acknowledgement first. What is working, what isn't. And it's so true about today. And it reminds me of a sign in an English pub that says, free beer tomorrow.
That's brilliant. Wow.
Isn't it?
That's deeper than the sign than we think. That is. Yeah.
It is.
It's worthy of more than a sign in an English pub, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how true is that? How many of us are, because you think about goals. I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, everyone should be setting goals. I simply say, if goals work for you, fine. For those of you that have been setting goals for 20 years and still haven't got the life that you want, well, just consider the standards-based approach. Because often, see, when I recognize it, if it is about today, because it is, because we have no tomorrow until we get there. So we've only got today. And when Einstein talked about, you know, about the day, he meant the today, not some other today. And when, you know, some people may be religious, they may think, well, when Jesus said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, tomorrow will take care of itself. Well, what did he mean by that? Well, he actually meant the only way that could happen is if you do the best you today. That's how you tomorrow take care of themselves. Whereas too many people say, and they create a disconnect with their happiness, they say, I speak to audiences, and I have this, you know, little game with them in the first part of my talk, and I say, you know, those of you that set goals, some of you achieve them and some of you don't. And that those that don't achieve the goals, just tell me, what are your goals? And they always come up with, more money, the bigger house, this car, this job, this promotion, this weight, this person in my life, whatever it might be. And I say, okay. And you tell yourself that when you get that goal, you will be, and I put my hand to my ear, and they all say, happy. And that's where we begin the conversation. I begin to share that, in fact, actually, happiness is a now experience. So we can't be happy in the future. So if we keep setting up these goals and saying, when I've got them and I've achieved them, then I'm going to be happy. What about the you today? What about the reality that you could only be happy today? Any emotion centered around happiness is a present time experience. So what are you doing in your structure, your philosophy to be happy in today? And then we can start having this conversation around living by daily standards set from within that keep you in your truth, and you're happy in your truth. Therefore, you're happy today. Not one of us can be happy tomorrow, not any one of us. So it's around setting up standards that say, this is who I am. I'm going to be this just for today. No pressure, just for today. A bit like Alcoholics Anonymous. Won't apply to you or me, but, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous say, you know, I'm not going to drink today. There's some wisdom there, right there, just for today. Not when I'm not going to drink forever, but just for today. And when I begin to look at the shift, again, I was having a conversation with someone today in preparation for an interview I'm doing for her blog, and she said to me, you know, give me a real-life example of how standards can change. And I said, well, I'll give you a few. One was how I set a new standard or some rules around I wouldn't work 6 days a week. A brand-new rule was 3.5 days a week, and that 2.5 days a week I'd spend with my wife and my children. being a husband and being a father, taking my kids to school as standard after, you know, most of their lives, not seeing them in the morning, not seeing them at night. Brand new standard. I take my kids to school every single morning. I pick them up from school 2-3 times a week. I have no more working weekends, no more late evening appointments as standard. I set standards for the quality of clients. I would no longer have clients that would have money but would abuse me and abuse my service. I just said, sorry, wrong standard. I even set standards around, if a client didn't have a certain level of wealth, then I'd have to refer them to somebody else, because I made a decision that for me to be wealthy, I have to work with people that have a wealthy mindset. If they didn't have that wealthy mindset, they would keep themselves poor and me too. And if they didn't accept some reminding of what it meant to have a wealthy mindset, then I couldn't work with them. So in other words, if they didn't have an open mind, I couldn't work with them. Other standards were quite literal. I said a minimum level of income or wealth the client would have to be a client of mine. And I said that from now on, after 18 years of driving around the country, crashing my car once a few years earlier, maybe dying on the motorway, that every client must come to me. No more tens of thousands of miles around each year driving my car. Lots of standards. So as a result of that, of course, people began to engage in me at a different level, because the world was treating me based upon the standards that I set. So I remained poor because I had poor standards. When I rose and set high standards, the world literally said, where have you been? Now we can treat you at this level. And of course, the wealth just came in. I also said that there's another thing we can consider. I set standards, and now I'm literally thinking that what I'm doing in my life, my intentions, are around, you know, helping people in their lives to become all they can be. And sometimes we can set a standard that can change the world. When we consider what Rosa Parks did, December 1st, 1953, I think it was, she sat on a bus and she said, no more am I going to have freedom and equality and votes and eating in the right restaurant and any restroom I want to go to, driving anywhere on the bus I want to, sit on the bus. No longer will that be a one day. No longer will that be a goal. She said, from today, this is how I'm going to treat myself. This is my new standard for me. And the world had to accept me as I am, warts and all. Because this guy challenged her and said, you know, move to the back of the bus. And she said, no, I'm as good as you, I'm as bad as you. This is how I'm going to treat myself from now. And of course, we know that around that time, the world conspired to have Martin Luther King become a leader in the community. We know that the civil rights movement ignited from that moment, that decision that she made to hold herself to a higher standard. We know that, in my belief, whether you're Republican or Democrat, just accept them at the moment that could we have a black president in America if we didn't have a Martin Luther King? Could we have a Martin Luther King the way that we knew him if we didn't have a Rosa Parks saying, no longer is this a goal that African Americans have had for 300 years? For her, in that moment, it became a standard. What I'm sharing here is that we can set standards around the clients that we deal with, how people treat us in our relationships. We can let go of those relationships that no longer serve us. We know which of our relationships honor and serve us and allow us to honor and serve, and which of our relationships bring us down and make us less than. We know this. Each of us knows. So it may be one of those standards that you change in your personal life or in your health or in your business. Or you might find that someone listening to this conversation right now, or someone that they speak to in sharing the message of the standards revolution, goes and sets a standard unknowingly, like Rosa Parks, and changes the whole world. This is what excites me every single day.
Wow. Derek, I'm just blown away by what you said, and I love it. The standards revolution. Everyone, please, please do this. In 2014, adopt higher standards for yourself, for your life, for your business. So get out of the fear mode. You know, you don't have to worry. And often, because, Derek, some people are going to hear this, maybe a lot of people, because I know I'm going to get the emails, and they're going to say, yeah, that's fine for Derek. But, you know, what about someone like me who, you know, if I raise my prices 30%, my business is going to go down. What can we say to people like that?
It's simple. Having standards also does not mean losing your common sense. It doesn't mean losing your commercial brain. See, what having high standards mean, when you raise, you can't raise yourself out of the marketplace because your doors will have to close. But the other thing, the other end of that is what do you accept into your business and your life that hurts you, that hurts your business, that brings you stress and brings you pain? that brings negative influences into your staff or your colleagues or your team. And that, it's about accepting, hold on a second, this is not honoring us, this is not serving us. And to the degree that you're not honoring and serving yourself, you lose the right to serve other people. So this is the thing, it's about saying, yeah, okay. Now, let's put this into quick perspective because of time. I recognize that, it's got the facts right. I was not doing very well. Every month, I was struggling to pay the bills. There's always more month left than money. And when I set my new standards, my finances went backwards for a while. But here's why I kept and stuck to my standards. It's because I refused to live the other way. I've gone through hell. I've been living hell for 18 years. When you're broken, having sheriffs and has foreclosure and problems with you paying your bills and humiliation time again and again, you say to yourself, when do you say enough? Enough of this. That's the old way. I was so committed. In fact, I call it a blessing that I had so many challenges in my life that I was willing to set new standards. And yes, I went backwards for a while financially as I had to let some people out of my life and let go of a bunch of my clients, about 90% of them. But what happened as I let that go, nature abhors a vacuum. As I let that go, more came in. And the more that came in was greater quality friends, relationships, clients, health. Everything changed. This is the key. Is it easy? Here's the thing. When you get to 97, and if you have a faith or whatever it is, and you're about to shuffle off this mortal coil, as Shakespeare would say, when you're about to leave this physical plane and go wherever else you believe you might go, you ask yourself the question. The question is, did I live my life, or did I live a life based on what I thought the world would have me be? And I didn't want to answer, if I answered that question at 97, God willing, I didn't want to say to myself, this life wasn't even mine. So become willing to live your life, because it was given to you. It was meant to be given to somebody else. It would be given to them. And one final thing on the point of setting standards. When you set your standards, you may risk losing a bit of money. Think about Rosa Parks on that bus. She risked her very freedom. And some might say, when you look at some of the old video black and white films, she risked her very life if the wrong people had been on that bus. But here's the thing. Being your truth doesn't require courage. Being your truth doesn't require willpower. It just means being your truth. And that's your most powerful tool in your armory. And what we have to do, like Rosa Parks did, we have to be patient with our truth, patient with our new standards. Because did you notice, she was still arrested. She set the standard, but she was still arrested. Because the world said, the legislature at the time said, actually, no, she's wrong. We'll have to arrest her, because this is the law of the land. But as you know, it went through the courts, the highest court in America, eventually said, hold on. She has the right standard, and the world was changed. And you need to know this. I speak around the world, and I share the Rosa Parks story, from India to Dubai to Jakarta to Holland, all over. And everyone goes, wow, those Americans, they got it. They got the standard. They got the point. And therefore, that's why you're leading the world, because you got the point. And this is it. Set the standard. Be patient with those around us as we stick to our standards. And stick to our standards one day at a time, long enough, to see what would happen if we did, just like Rosa Parks.
Well, Derek, you are fantastic. I know my audience. I'm going to get amazing emails from everyone saying how much they loved your talk. Thank you so much for sharing thank you for waking up that day and realizing that you have standards and there's more to life, and for writing this incredible book, The 10-Second Philosophy. Everyone needs to go and get this book. Derek, where can they buy it?
They can buy it from Amazon.com. My website is Derek, that's Derek-Mills.com.
You heard it here, Derek Mills, he's incredible. His book is extraordinary. Definitely pick up a copy. You're going to love it. And you can find more about my work at Jaden Sterling's Wealth and Wisdom page. That's Jaden Sterling's Wealth and Wisdom. While you're there, please click the like button and sign up for my free ebook titled Your Destiny Delivered, A Guide to Discovering Your Soul's Purpose. And next week we'll be talking about dream boards. Some people refer to them as vision boards, but maybe after listening to Derek today, what we will call them standard boards. Your standards. This is a perfect time to create a board as we get ready to bring in a new year filled with lots of opportunities. every year my family and I make these vision boards between the week of Christmas and New Year's, and the kids love the process too. It's a fantastic way to introduce your entire family to the power of visualization and the power of law of attraction. And on my show next week, I'm bringing in my friend Ash Kumra. He's the founder of DreamItAlive.com, which is a terrific site that lets you create a digital dream board for free. It's super fun, and we're going to talk about how to make a vision board that's effective and how to work with them so that all of those little pictures on your boards actually become your reality. So have a fantastic week, and remember to do those things that fill your soul and your wallet. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.